Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
All right. Early call time. This is a special episode because finally we were...
We got Andrew the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Andrew is stuck at work and he was like, sorry to let you guys down. And it's like, let us down. You are letting me up. I love that you're gone.
He's not that bad of a guy.
Yeah, to you.
You know, it would be funny if you guys were just talking.
Honestly, I was dreading... the potential of just being me and Andrew, like with no other guests, just me and him doing solo.
Right.
Because it's just going to be me accusing his ancestors of killing my ancestors.
Well, it's what you do to me.
Yeah, but I do it less with you ever since we had that talk.
That talk
where it's like, look, Nadav, you really got to stop with the whole Nazi background thing.
Because I'm not a Nazi.
Yeah, I know you're not. But like Andrew maybe your ancestors were.
They may be. I don't know.
But the important thing about that is that Andrew has not had that talk with me. So that just keeps on going.
True.
But so today's podcast, we don't have a guest. It's just me and JJ. And what are we talking about, JJ?
We're going to talk about mentoring. And, you know, the importance of having a mentor, how to get a mentor.
Yeah, mentor is one of the most important things that you could get yourself first starting out because... Let's face it, when you first get into the industry, you know nothing. If you go to film school, like, sure, you'll know the stuff that they teach you in film school, but you won't have any actual practical practice? Is that the way I was going?
Well, I think going to film school, you learn a lot. You get a lot of networking with people. And some professors could be mentors.
True.
You know?
Yeah, either an industry mentor or a... teaching mentor.
Or they are in the, or by networking with professors, they can hook you up with a good mentor.
So what are the good, what are characteristics that one looks for in a mentor?
Well,
someone who's been there before.
Someone that is definitely doing what you want to do.
Exactly. Like someone where if it worked out like this, where if you ate someone's brain and then you became them. The same candidate for that you would want to eat, you would want also a mentor.
Interesting.
Wow, that came out really...
I was thinking more of like...
Did that come out like a linear thought? Was that easy to follow?
Well, I mean, it was. I was able to follow it, but...
You've been decoding
being a good thought, I don't know, but it's much like, in your example, it's much like Highlander. Like, if you kill someone and you chop their head off, you gain their powers.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I haven't chopped your head off yet.
No, that's good.
That's right around the corner, you know? The night is still young.
Well, thank you.
So what you look for in a good mentor is someone, A, who's been there before or still doing it. B, someone who you don't think is an asshole. Someone that you like being around.
Well, someone that you respect.
Yeah. That's a big one. That comes even before you liking them. Is you respecting them?
Because they can be a
respecting
dick.
Their work.
They can be a dick and be a good mentor.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Like, I mean, and someone that you respect is so key because, I mean, I've had gigs before where I was excited about it. And then my boss was like, yeah, you know, this is kind of like whatever. Like, you just got to deliver something by the end of the day. So just as long as you do that, like, if it's good, if it's bad, whatever, just deliver it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this guy doesn't give a shit about this.
Right.
I immediately give less of a shit about it than I did 5 minutes before talking to you.
Sure. If someone has excitement, a mentor that has excitement about what they do usually is a good candidate.
Yeah. Someone where, like, if your passion levels are kind of the same, where you guys kind of like the same stuff, you're into the same stuff in the same way, that also helps a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you were actually – okay, well, we'll get this out of the way now. My mentor is JJ.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
JJ is, I interned for him in 2008 or 9? 2008 or 9.
Yeah, one
of those years.
Those years
which
yeah.
is kind yeah. of a long time ago now. It's like 6 years ago?
Math.
That's a lot.
Well, yeah. Well.
So I met JJ, and if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry. I met JJ at my internship for NBC Universal on a show called LXTV's Open House LA.
And First Look.
And First Look LA.
But when
I was more your intern than Alex's.
Yeah. I worked on Open House, and I didn't really teach you how to digitize because we really, I mean, we kind of, like, I kind of showed you, how to.
Mike, I had a lot of cobwebs in Final Cut. Like, yeah. In the interview process, I was like, yeah, I know Final Cut. And right. Then I think you told me to do something on my first day. I was like, how do I open a new project?
And then I wish I would have known about the link. Let me Google that for you.
Yeah. You did that a couple times for me.
Did I? Because, man.
Well, oh, I know. No, I'm, oh, I know. No, I wasn't even around.
I know. I'm sure that.
You do that to me now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that I said, did you Google it? Because that's, you know, that's, it's funny. That's the first thing people do now.
The two most important phrases in post-production is A, if you have an issue, is A, mm-hmm. did you Google it?
Yep.
And then B, did you try turning it off and on again? Those are the two most important things.
Case in point today, I did that. And, I Googled it, and I said, oh, this sucks. And then it showed, like, oh, you do this and do this, and then turn it on, turn it off. Still didn't work.
Oh, see, that's
so then I had to call technical support, mm-hmm. and I was like, hey, I did everything I needed to do, and it's not working. And then the guy came out, and it was all honky-dory.
Yeah, the biggest nightmare is having an IT guy who, like, talks to your boss, mm-hmm. telling you to turn it on and turn it off and turn it on again, and then that fixes it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, buddy, looks like you hired someone who's a fucking idiot. That happened. Yeah. I mean, that happened to me the other day. Like, I was laying something to tape, and like the QC monitor wasn't working. Like, everything's just black. I'm like, mm-hmm. dude, I laid down these bars and tones like three times, and it's not showing up. Like, should I make a help ticket or what? He goes, did you try turning it off and turning it on again? I'm like, I'll be right back. And I do that, and it totally works.
Yeah.
And then I have to like fake enthusiasm. I'm like, hey, it turns out you were right. This is crazy. You're really good at this. And I feel like a fucking idiot.
Or you just don't come back to them, say, yeah, it worked. You know, whatever.
Yeah. But okay, so.
To back on our story.
So I interned for JJ at Open House LA. Mm-hmm. During the interview, I remember the interview very well. I remember fucking killing it.
Kevin Stone was there.
Kevin Stone. Great guy, Kevin Stone.
God, I miss Kevin.
And
I miss you, Kevin.
And yeah, like ever since then, like from day one, you were teaching me how to do stuff. I mean, I don't know if you actually did this or, but I've been telling people that you did.
Oh, even better.
Which is,
I'm a myth now. And a legend.
Because what you really drilled home for me was only like in Final Cut. There's the long way to do things. Well, there's a million ways to do everything in Final Cut.
Or and editing in general.
Yeah. Editing in general. Just Final Cut's what I have most experience in. But
sure.
And then on that show, we were working on it. But right. There's a million ways to do everything in editing software, and you were very strong on using only hotkeys. Like if there's a hotkey mm-hmm. to do something, because doing command F5 is way faster than taking your mouse. Yeah. Taking your mouse, taking it over here. Yeah. You know, the hotkeys. I only said that cause I use that a lot.
I don't, and I don't really use Final Cut anymore, but give me like 5 minutes and I get back on it.
Oh yeah. But okay. So what I used to tell people, or still tell people is that, oh yeah, you know, my mentor, he really taught me my hotkeys. What he would do is he would like give me like a thing to cut. And then he would just unplug my mouse and then take it with him. You never did that, right?
I might have unplugged your mouse once.
Yeah, I feel okay. So it's happened. It happened once. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. If you have that memory,
try to do it with just your keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like every now and then you'd come over to tell me something and you'd see me using the mouse. Like,
well, and I remember you learned how to cycle through Windows. That way, you're like, how do I do this?
Yeah. I was like, how can I do this without a mouse? And you're like, well, you know, if you command one, it takes you to that window. Command two, mm-hmm. takes you to this window. Like, oh.
Yeah.
And now every time I do an edit or whenever I'm working in that system and I'm about to use my like mouse to do something, my quick brain goes to JJ being like, use your hotkeys. Use your hotkeys.
Well,
and it makes you a million times faster too.
Sure. Because and you know what's funny is I see a lot of editors that are a little older than myself. They use a lot of the graphical interface.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you just hit the button and you got it, you know?
And I feel like such an asshole too, because I picked up that trait from you where, mm-hmm. like, if you're looking over someone's shoulder, like, watching them work,
yeah,
and you see them do something and you know that there's a hotkey for what they're doing, like, you know, you could actually just, like, option up and that you could do that. And so I catch myself doing that now.
I'm sorry.
And the people hear it and they're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And they still do it their way. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, got it. I'm an asshole. Okay.
Right.
Now you see, when you did it for me, I appreciated it because it made me, like, better at my job. It made me faster. It made me more efficient. Some people don't like that. Some people do like that. I really like that.
Not being fast and efficient? People don't like that?
They don't like being told what to do. Or they don't like being told that the way they're doing it isn't the best way to do it.
Right.
Or some people.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I can understand that.
That's a trait that I really liked in you as a mentor, is that you were invested in improving my skills. Whenever you saw something that I could be doing better, you're not like, oh, like some people might be like, oh, looks like Nadav's not good at this thing. But you're like, oh, Nadav's kind of weak on this. You know, let's bring his skills up on that.
Right.
Which is,
well, it's just encouragement, you know, and you need to if you're looking for a mentor, you need to find somebody that's encouraging.
Absolutely.
That is invested in making you better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not really, it's not, I wouldn't say it's an investment. It's more of like
paying it forward.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, no, not paying it. I mean, did anyone do this for you? Like, did anyone teach you all the hotkeys?
No, I learned them on my own.
Yeah.
But I like helping people, especially with, for example, you want to edit and if I have something that I can share to you, I'll share it. Like, that's one of the reasons why we do our blogs, is we talk about the processes that we do. Like, this is the dailies process and this is how you do it. Or I have, you know, I lacked a picture. Now, what do I do now?
Yeah. You know, what's great specifically with your blog, because I actually follow your blog religiously.
Oh, thank you. I like yours too.
Oh yeah, guys, we have blogs on the website. If you guys want to check it out, most of the time, Andrew and JJ's blog posts are informative. I'd say mine are maybe 10% okay. Because the other time I'm just like, oh God, what am I going to write today?
Yeah.
Oh fuck, is today Thursday?
Yeah.
Shit. All right, I got to write something tonight.
We recorded this on a Thursday.
For example, I sometimes have blocks in my mind where it's like, I feel like, oh, I'm not at that level yet. I can't even attempt to do that.
Oh,
like, for example, like, say I'm assistant editing on these, like, you know, shitty low-budget features.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I'm early in my career and I'm, like, in the pay-your-dues mentality, I'm like, oh, yeah, just give me all the shit work. Like, I'll eat your shit for breakfast. I'll eat it for lunch.
Right.
And, even thinking about being propositioned to be an assistant editor on like a union scripted show already makes me super anxious and make me feel like I'm not ready for it.
It's a fear.
Exactly. It's a fear that like, oh shit, everyone's going to find out that I'm a fraud and that I don't know as much as I said I did. And then I read like your blog, which is like the dailies process of a scripted television show.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it. And I'm like, oh shit, I know how to do all this shit. Like, yeah. I know how to do this stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, it becomes way less intimidating.
Yeah. That getting over the intimidation is the hardest thing to do.
Absolutely.
The first week that I was doing it by myself, it was scary. Like, I literally had lots of fear and I sweat a lot. And, But after a while, you become comfortable with it.
Oh yeah,
It
becomes muscle memory. Like at first, you're always like you're getting wires crossed. You're like, wait, do I do it this way? Do I do it that way?
Yep.
But then, even like after like, I'd say maybe 2 or 3 weeks is where you start really getting into your groove.
Yeah.
And then it's just like you don't even think about it. It's just second nature.
You know what's really funny is within that 2 or 3 weeks. You might think, yeah, I'm in my groove and everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start locking a show, that's when all the dead bodies come to the top. Because let's say you didn't subclip something correctly.
Now, hold on. For our listeners, what is locking a show?
Locking a show, or picture lock, as it's also referred to as, it's when no other changes can be made to a timeline or a show.
Mm-hmm.
In that way,
it's like no other changes. This is like we're getting ready to ship it
out. At least picture.
Right.
At least picture.
No other changes need to be done.
Yeah, because then Because if you continue to make changes to the show after it's locked, the cat's outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was coming in here.
after you have that picture lock, if things are continuing to change, you can never really finish a show correctly. Mm-hmm. So at some point, someone has to say, okay, no more changes. And then you can pass it on to your sound and music and your online and get beautiful picture, get it all color corrected, get your visual effects in, get all the sound and sound effects done. But it all starts with getting a locked picture. So,
and when those dead bodies start floating up from all those mistakes you made earlier on,
that's when it hits the fan and you're like, oh, fuck, I need to not do that next time.
Exactly. Now, you see, a lot of times people see those horrible situations and they see them strictly and only as nightmares. Like, oh, my God, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Try and be optimistic about it. I see it as an opportunity to build character.
You're like Calvin's dad from Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, this isn't the worst day of your life. This is the worst day of your life so far. There are more days. Great Simpsons quote. There's way more opportunities to fuck up, but you're only an idiot if you repeat the same fuck ups. If you're not, if you're learning from your fuck ups, then it's
okay.
Then it's an ends to a means.
It's better. It's not. I guess.
Yeah, it's better to not fuck up.
Yeah,
but it's like, don't worry about fucking up because it's going to happen, and you're not. I mean, depending how huge the fuck up is, like, you're not going to get fired on the spot. Maybe they'll have a meeting about it first.
Right. Well, and you know, we were talking about the fear of, you know, being on a scripted show for the first time or whatever. But if that's your dream to be an editor of a scripted television show or a film or whatever that may be, if there isn't that fear, then your dream's not big enough.
There you go.
And that was a quote that I read recently. I don't remember where I read it. Mm-hmm. Or I don't remember who wrote it, but I saw it on an email and I thought it was like fucking genius. But it's true. Like, the reason why it's such a big deal and why you're so freaked out is because you care enough about it that you want it to be a good thing. You don't want to fail.
Yeah.
You know? But going back onto the mentoring conversation.
Yes.
Having a mentor helps you in that fear, and it kind of diminishes that fear at some point.
Exactly. They could either validate or invalidate that fear, where it's like, holy shit, JJ, I'm going to be on set. They want me to like be a DIT, not like a fake DIT who's just a media manager, but like a DIT who's like strictly part of camera department. Like, they're asking me questions about the epic. Like, why isn't the camera working? I don't know, man. I've never even pressed the record button on a Red.
Yeah, me either.
And so that's when you go to your mentor and you're like, hey, are these fears
valid?
Valid. And then in that particular case, you'd be like, yeah, buddy, you're kind of fucked. Like, you should know this shit.
Yeah. Well, if you're a DIT for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a big boy thing.
Yeah. For big boys.
I remember one of my buddies who hopefully we'll get on the podcast sooner than later, Patrick.
He was doing
this Audi commercial, and he was like, this was when I was very naive. This was like while we were still working on that Palos Verdes show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, DIT, this is the easiest gig on set. All you do is sit on your ass all day, fucking drag and drop. Like, this is cake.
Yeah.
And then my buddy Patrick was working on some Audi commercial. I'm like, hey, man, if you need a DIT, you let me know. And then he was like, well, are you a union DIT? And I was like, union DIT? What? there's a spot for them in the union now?
Oh, yeah. I guess but, they would be in the camera.
But, like, he started, like, naming off all these things that, like, if I'm comfortable doing, like playback and this and that. And it's like, I didn't know half the terms you just said, Patrick. So maybe you should hire someone else. And
that was a good call.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you know your limits and you know your skills, like, sure.
Well, and be honest about it.
Oh, yeah. Honesty is the biggest thing. Like, I'm not honest in many parts of my life. But I find myself the most honest version of myself is in interviews, which is probably, like, in any other job that's not in this industry, it's probably a good thing. Where it's like, just fucking sell yourself big and this and that. But in as technical as a profession as this is, you can't lie about know about all these different codecs. I know about, you know, laying the tape. I know about trans, like, I know all this stuff. And then they're going to find out literally not hour one. They're going to find out minute one if you were lying or not. Because if you don't know how to do this shit that you're claiming to do, it's like,
it's clear.
Great, bro. You just fucked us out of like a day or two of having someone that knows what he's doing. And now you're fired. And not only you're fired, you'll never work here again or anywhere else of people that we know.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn.
Yeah.
So I always find out that being honest in the interviews, is only going to help you out. It's going to save you from those nightmare situations where you're just in quicksand and have no idea what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it makes your interviewers also realize that you're honest. Like,
yeah,
I had an interview over, at a big post house, and they were like they called me up. I had dropped my resume off like 6 months prior. And they called me. They called me up, and they're like, "Hey, you know, we're calling over from this place. Could you come in for an interview?" And I was like, "Sure," but right, like, I have to let you know, I don't know Avid that well. Like, that was literally the second sentence I said.
Well, it's
The phone, and they're like, "Oh, well, okay. Well, you know, we have our own software here too, so you'd be getting training and stuff, and like." So they scheduled me for an interview, and then I came in, and then again, one of the first sentences out of my mouth was, "Hey, you know, like, I'm a rock star in Final Cut. Like, I know this shit, I know that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Avid, I could be stronger."
Yeah.
And they appreciate the honesty. They're like, "Oh, wow, that's great. Like, thanks for letting us know. I didn't get the job, and I have a feeling it's because I didn't know Avid so well."
Right.
But I saved myself from never being able to work there again. Because if I did say I knew how to do all that shit, and then I fucked up everything day one, they'd be like, "Hey, guys, this guy's a big old phony. Don't ever invite him back. This guy's an idiot."
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, that's good.
Just be honest.
Good. Yeah. What else about, well, you, I mean, it's weird to say this, but you were lucky enough that the internship was with me because I was very open. But the thing is,
oh yeah, dude, you're one of the best bosses I ever had.
Well, thank you.
I mean, is it a boss if it's an internship?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was pretty much the only reason the interns were there is because they didn't want to pay anyone and they wanted slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's
when you call your old buddy Nadava.
Right. But because of that fact, I didn't want any of the interns to feel like, you know, they were there and not getting real experience.
Like just making copies and getting copies.
Yeah, like that's bullshit. I never had to do that, and I think I
never had to do that either, thanks.
Which is good. When I had my internship, I was told, you know, you won't get coffee for us. You'll be doing exactly what we do. We're just showing you how. And I got a real working experience. I learned a lot. I met a lot of really great people.
Oh, yeah.
Showed that I could work hard. And doing that for the interns that have worked under me, I've wanted to do that as well because if they worked hard and they did what they needed to do, I could say, "Oh, well, he was my intern, but he acted more as an assistant editor.
Mm-hmm.
You should hire him."
Oh, yeah.
Because if you don't have that and all they did was get copies and make tea and whatever, you don't
they
know.
They can't take that
you
anywhere
don't,
else.
Yeah, you don't know. Well, that, and you don't know if they're going to be good as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So you, Kevin was my intern.
Mm-hmm.
I got him hired at LXTV.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you knew that or not, but
I didn't know that he started as an intern. This is news to me.
Yeah, he was the intern after Andrew at NBC when I worked on ULA.
I could see who you liked better.
Well, yeah. And Kevin was great, and he wanted to assist. He wanted to edit. And so when I had the opportunity to hire an assistant, I said, well, Kevin would be the one I wanted and because I worked well together. And I mentored him as well and, you know, kind of. Sure. I mean, at that point, my knowledge was limited, but I, you know,
you were still able to help him out with the stuff that he didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also there were other interns that came and went, and some of them are assisting, some of them are doing producing work, you know, things like that, it's really great. So,
I mean, I was able to come out of my internship with saying like, "Yeah, you know, no big deal. I edited some stuff that made it to air." Like,
right.
I remember you gave me like a couple segments that summer that I did pretty much from start to finish
with
like rounds of notes from you. And it was like, holy shit. Like, and then I would see it like on the TV and I'm like, this is pretty much exactly what I did. Like, granted, yeah, there are some tweaks like in the finalization process, but it's like, there wasn't any like page one rewrites on these segments. Like, it was like, damn, this is great. Like, I came out of here with aired footage.
Yeah. And yeah, if you can find someone that will do that for you, take up, you know, I wouldn't say take advantage of the opportunity, but take advantage of the opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, don't take advantage of that person. Take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, don't. That's a good. Yeah. just try and get out of it. Like, don't clock in. Don't clock out. Don't look at, like, wait for the clock to say 7 or 5 or whenever it is you go home. Because the good outlook isn't to be like, hey, I punch out. When it's 5 o'clock, it's I punch out when the work is done.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude that people like. And that's the attitude that people will hire back, hire full time, whatever it is. As long as you show that you're a team player, like that's what helps out.
Yeah. One of the things that whoever is listening to this might want to know is
Andrew,
this is how you find a mentor.
You piece of shit.
Yeah. How I've found a mentor, even though he wasn't involved in the process of me becoming an editor as much as I was with you.
Right.
But I found a mentor named David. He was an editor on Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was living in Indianapolis, I thought to myself, I know I want to edit for television. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a television show that I really enjoy, and I'm going to find how to get in contact with that editor.
Smart.
So even from being in Indianapolis, I was like, it's possible. The way the internet works nowadays, this should happen.
There's even a book that you referred me to that said that's what you should do.
Really?
Like, not blink of an eye, but like the assistant editor's guide.
Oh, yeah.
It was that's like, a great make, book. Make a list of 5 editors that you really enjoy, and not just that you like their show and their writing, but you specifically like the editing.
Mm-hmm.
And then email those people, and most likely a good percentage of them will respond back because not a lot of people give a shit who the editor is of a show. They just care who the actor is, they care who the producer, sometimes. Directors. Like,
well, editors don't get fan mail. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't happen usually.
And not only that, but I remember like the editors are always like they always get their clothing gets made fun of the most out of everyone. They're known as the cave dwellers.
That's why you wear button ups, man. And so that's make it better, you know.
Right.
But you see a lot of people with t-shirts and jeans and you know,
roll out of bed coming to work.
Yeah, but that's there are a percentage of people that do that.
Not a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. They say that a lot of editors are kind of socially inept or they can be.
Mm-hmm.
I've only met like 2 editors that...
I'm surprised Andrew's not an editor.
Yeah, I know. No.
You only met 2 editors that were like kind of...
Yeah, kind of not really...
Personable.
Yeah, and I found that very weird. But anyway...
How did they get work?
Yeah, I don't know. Agents, I guess.
Asians?
Agents.
Ah.
Agents.
Either or.
They could be Asian.
Asian agents.
I mean, whatever. you, like you said in that book as well, contact editors that you feel or can do good work and that you like their style.
Yeah, contact people whose jobs you want.
Yeah, and
so how did that go for you?
Well, it took me a little bit because it was around, 2005 or 2006.
Did you just specifically email that one editor, or did you like blanket like a whole?
No,
bunch
I went after this guy specifically, and because I knew he worked at Warner Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and I had a friend that worked at Warner Brothers, and
like, hey, do you know Peter?
Well, I was like, the best thing, the best thing about working on a lot like Warner Brothers or Sony or something like that, they usually have directories
mm-hmm.
of different productions. So my friend at the time,
that son of a bitch, he gave you the whole directory?
No, no, no.
That sounds like a fireable offense.
No, he...
What's his name?
He didn't give me... David did not give me the directory. He just gave me the number for the fax.
He just gave you all the information that you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, he found the fax number for the production office of the show. And so I said, okay, great. So I also got the telephone number, and I faxed my resume, and basically just said, okay, well, this is production office, but do you have the post-production's phone number? Like, I want to talk to the editor, and or fax my resume to the post department.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a couple of days, I got the number, and I was able
did
to.
Did you call back a couple times? Like, did they not want to give it to you at first?
I think I called back twice. I mean, I had the number to the production office. They just had to give me a number for post.
But, like, did they just give out the number willy-nilly? Or they're like, who is this?
No, you know, what's really funny is that if you call someplace and you say exactly what you need and what you want, especially a production office,
mm-hmm.
usually you get what you need. You know, like, I didn't ask for much. I just asked for a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I got a phone number and I got a fax machine. And so I faxed my resume to the post department and said, you know, attention, David. And David Ekstrom was the editor. And so after about a week, I called back. I called the post production department and mm-hmm. I said, you know, I'd like to speak to David. And I got through to him. And I said, hey, David, I admire your work. I just thought that maybe you could give me some advice on what I should do. I live in Indianapolis, but I've been doing this, and this,
mm-hmm.
and I want to do what you do. And he ended up talking to me for like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
Yeah, he told me how he got involved with post-production.
How did David Ekstrom get involved?
He worked with Roger Corman.
Oh.
Yeah, so he worked that route, and I wonder... I think he knows people that I know now that I work with.
That's awesome.
Very weird. That kind of clicked.
Do you still keep in contact with him? Or?
The last time I talked to him was when I worked on Warner Brothers a lot, which was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the advice that he gave was you need to move to LA.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get into the union. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I took his advice and, fast forward about 4 years
mm-hmm.
and I was working on Gossip Girl as an assistant. And
you see that guy's in 4 years, you could work on a big time TV scripted
you
show.
You just got to work hard.
Just got to want
be
it.
Motivated, mm-hmm. you know, and,
you know, they say it takes 8 years to become an overnight success.
Yeah. I did it in 4.
Boom.
Yeah.
Did it.
Well, I mean,
look, Mom.
Yeah. But at that time, I actually was able to co-edit. And coincidentally enough, when the time that I found out that I was co-editing, mm-hmm. I was reading in the Editors Guild magazine. That's a plug, I guess. I was reading in it about the Mentalist crew, because mm-hmm. The Mentalist post-production department. And I looked at the picture, and I go, man, that guy looks familiar. And then I realized it was David Ekstrom.
Holy shit.
And he worked on the same lot as me. So,
glad to see he's still working.
Yeah. So, and he's moved on and done many other things. So anyway, our friend Tony mm-hmm. Estrino was...
Big T.
Yeah, he was working on the Mentalist. And I said, dude, how can I meet him? He's like, I don't know. And
Tony,
I was like,
piece of shit.
Great. Anyway, Harry, my mentor, one of my mentors,
you met him while you were on the Warner Brothers lot, right?
I met Harry on Gossip Girl mm-hmm. as well. And funny enough, this is very,
so you're lucky this, enough
this
to
is
get
a very
like
long
one,
story.
You're lucky enough to have like 1.5 mentors
or two. Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, but, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But Harry knew the post AP or the AP for the Mentalist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if you don't know, the AP is the person that hires all the editors and assistants.
And AP stands for?
Associate producer.
Okay.
And so Harry knew him. And he's like, oh, yeah, just come on over and meet Peter. And I was like, all right, cool. And so I met Peter. And It was great. He was really cool. And his name is actually Peter.
You looked at him and you're like, Peter.
Peter.
I did it.
Yeah. Well,
I made it out,
well,
bud.
I told him this whole story. And I said, I'd really love to meet David when he has some downtime. And he's like, oh, I'll come back on Wednesday or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you could meet him. So I did. And I came in and I basically said, hey, David, you probably don't remember me, but my name's JJ. I sent my resume a long time ago to you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember. And he's like, it's good to see you here. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And then we talked for another half hour, you know. And I basically said, you know, it's funny that I found out that you work here because I'm doing my first co-edit this next week. And, you know, and it was just kind of a full circle.
That's awesome.
So it does happen. So if you like an editor or like what they do, contact them. Now it doesn't hurt.
That's specifically
don't
for
be a stalker.
Yeah.
You know, but
like other positions might be more difficult, maybe even easier, than getting in touch with the editor, but
yeah,
always reach out. Cause you never know who's, you know, reads your email when they're in the right mood. And it's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to make this kid's life. Yeah. I'm going to fucking.
Well, if somebody do this, that, even, even if they don't know me or they are a friend of a friend or something like that, I feel maybe it's just my personality, but I feel if someone is asking for help and has enough balls to ask for help in doing something that they want to do, mm-hmm. that if I was in that position, I'd want the person to help. So,
yeah. I did the same thing too. I mean, like, when I was working at that company in Orange County, my boss was like, hey, can we get any free slaves? And I'm like, yeah, probably. So I reached out to my school's art department at UC Irvine, and I just posted up like, hey, this company's looking for interns. And turns out, like, this kid who's maybe a year or two younger than me, who I had a couple art classes with, totally hit me up. And I literally started teaching him things exactly in the same way that you taught me. Like,
oh, that's great.
I'd be over his shoulder. I'd be like, oh, use your hotkeys. Like, use this, use that. Like, that was the biggest thing I did. And
I sound like a dick.
No, man. Hotkeys, I cannot stress hotkeys enough. Hotkeys, even if you're the slowest person ever, if you just start learning hotkeys, you will become 2 to 3 times faster without even trying hard.
Yeah. I was told I was fast the other day. I was like, thanks, man.
Dude, you are lightning fast. You are faster than Pluralize. Okay, so here's
wow, really?
So dude, we did the test.
Yeah, we did.
It was so Pluralize, something that an assistant editor has to do is to sync externally recorded audio with the footage that was filmed.
I forgot about that.
The audio doesn't feed into the camera. So there's a program called Pluralize where what it does is it takes the reference audio that was recorded on the camera's shitty microphone and it lines it up. It lines all the peaks up with the reference audio, with the external audio, so that it does the syncing for you. And when I don't know if you found out about Pluralize through me or – I remember I was trying to convince
you. I think it was you.
I was trying to convince you to use Pluralize on some project that we were working on.
Yeah.
And, like, you see it working and, like, you see – like, it just does a progress bar. It's like you line up a whole entire sequence, you line up everything, and it just does the work for you. It just takes, like, I don't know, 1 to 5 minutes depending, like, how much footage you want to have synced up. Mm-hmm. And while you're watching the progress bar, I don't know if we had 2 machines available or something, but, like, as it was going – you were doing something like a very similarly lengthed sequence,
yeah.
And you beat Pluralize, like you beat the syncing program, and it's like how?
I don't even know.
And you're like, oh, am I fast? I didn't even know. Fuck you, dude.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. You do it if you work on a show. I worked on a daily show.
Mm-hmm.
If you. You're on a daily show, you have to be fast or you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn to be quick, and then when you start working on stuff that's not, you still have that mentality.
Yeah, you still have that pace.
Oh, I can cut that faster.
That was another thing that you tried to instill in me is to work fast. I remember I would do string outs for you.
Yeah.
And like I would set goals for myself
I remember.
To try and string out faster than how long it was. Mm-hmm. So if the string out was like 90 minutes long, my goal would be to finish it in less than 90 minutes.
Right. Like so, if there was 90 minutes of footage.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I would literally be doing everything on double speed because it's still kind of understandable on double speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just do that, ins and outs, delete, ins and outs, delete. And I did it. I achieved that.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah, Dav, brush your shoulders off, homie. Toot, toot.
No, you...
That's my horn.
You definitely learned a lot, and I feel like you've... I'm going to tell you. When you were talking about your job now,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with codecs and dealing with frame rates and doing all the stuff that you're doing now,
mm-hmm.
I was hoping that you would get to this point.
Me too, bud.
Yeah. because, you know, granted, it takes a job to learn a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, it's good. It's good that you're there. You know, it's good that you're learning it and you feel comfortable with it. And hopefully some of the stuff that we went over and learned kind of together, has helped that.
And that's another great thing that you did as a mentor was whenever you were doing side projects that I wasn't even involved in, you'd be like, hey, man, I'm doing turnovers for color tonight. Do you want to come over and shadow me?
Right.
And we literally Palos Verdes project, I was over your place every night for months.
Yeah.
Like for a very long time.
Yeah.
And... like, I didn't say no because you were constantly doing shit that I didn't have experience doing.
Right.
So it's just like, fuck yeah, man, I'll come over. Like, if you're willing to, like, go a little slower than you normally would to show me that I'm down. Yeah. And that was what always was so great about you as a mentor is that you're like, oh, Nadav probably doesn't know how to do this. I'll give him a call and see if he wants to see me do it. And now I know more stuff.
Thanks, man.
Like, there was so much shit that I had... there's so much shit that, like, I would encounter during multiple jobs. Like, when we did that stint at iBoogie and my current mm-hmm. job right now. Like, there are certain things that I come across, like, mastering and laying off. That if you hadn't shown me the painstaking process during that Palos Verdes project, like, during that entire time, I was bored out of my mind. I was like, this is retarded. Like, this is so time-consuming and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
If I didn't sit through all that, I would be so bald right now, just pulling my hair out. Like, I don't understand any of this. And it's like, just sitting through all that was like, oh, nice. I'm actually fucking prepared for this.
Yeah.
And one of the best feelings in the world is to show up to a project you know nothing about and you're like, oh, thank God, it's all stuff I know.
God, yeah, it's very true.
It's one of the biggest reliefs ever.
Well, and I'm coming to the realization that it's not stressful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I go, you know, I'm an assistant and I do a lot of the work, with in any crew, an assistant does more work than the editor usually,
mm-hmm.
and because they have to do turnovers, they have to prepare the dailies, they have to know the footage almost better than the editor,
right?
In a lot of occasions, and now it's to the point where I could go to a show and be very comfortable with, okay, I know that I'm going to be doing dailies, I'm going to be doing turnovers when it's done,
mm-hmm.
and going home at 10 o'clock sometimes, but when you realize that. I don't know. It's just when that sinks in and you're okay with it and you're comfortable with it, it makes the job a lot easier.
Oh yeah. You're able to sleep better too about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause starting out a gig where you're nervous like that.
Oh yeah.
Those first couple weeks of sleep are horrible. Cause you go to sleep thinking about it and you wake up and it's the first thought in your mind and you're like, all right, let's go into work and get the shit kicked out of me. Like,
yeah. It does go away, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
I mean, when I came up here, I was telling you when I started this new job, there was like a solid 2 or 3 weeks where I woke up anxiously every morning checking my work email.
In a fever.
Yeah, in a fever to make sure I didn't fuck up anything the night before because I start at noon. Mm-hmm. So if I fucked up anything, by 9 or 10 a.m., emails are coming in to me about, hey, Nadav, you forgot to check this box when you exported, so now someone needs to do this thing for 5 hours. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that adds up.
Yeah, it adds up. And every morning that I wake up and don't have one of those emails is an extra day added onto my life.
It's true. Gosh. I mean, the stress of being an assistant it definitely builds up on you, especially if you're working 20 plus days in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, like what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm, well,
you got
yeah.
a pretty hectic assistant yeah. editing gig right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, well, it there's a lot of, it's almost like working on a pilot. Mm-hmm. There's
for
just
the entire season.
The entire season. It's not that dramatic, but
It's just a lot of work because it's very VFX heavy, right?
It is. It is, and there's just a lot of quick turnarounds now. Mm-hmm.
Was it always like was it?
It's always kind of been like this.
Yeah. Was it like that on Carrie Diaries too?
Mm-mm, not at all, because the visual effect, there wasn't really any visual
effects. Is it like a bottlenecking process? Is that why that happens? Because it's like you give VFX to do it, and then they give it to you the day that you have to like turn over.
Sometimes I was in that actually until today was my last day of like putting in all the visual effects that were completed. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a bottleneck. It sort of is. Mm-hmm. The network will say, we need the show to air on this Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you don't have that much time to do the finishing work like you'd want. Mm-hmm. Like, you usually have to give sound 5 days. I think there's a penalty that a studio will have to pay, or a show will have to pay, mm-hmm. if they don't give sound 5 days to do the turnovers. But then you also have to incorporate visual effects, that sometimes they need more than 5 days. Sometimes they need like 3 to 4 weeks to work on something. Mm-hmm. There was an episode, it was the Vegas episode of Scorpion.
Okay.
It is aired. Mm-hmm. Aired a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And at the end of the episode, there's some helicopters that come down. There's a helicopter that comes down. Mm-hmm. All fake. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't know that because the visual effects company did a really great job modeling this helicopter. Mm-hmm. But they had that for almost a month.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, and sometimes it takes that long to model what they're trying to do. So, I don't know. There's just a number of different factors that makes the job hectic. And most of it is due to a fast turnaround.
Okay.
You know, we may lock a show on, let's say, the first of the month, and we have to air on the 11th or something like that. I think that was one of the turnarounds for this season, at least. I think there was like 9 days, 10 days. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's crazy, really. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just, that's what gets crazy.
Yeah, some jobs are crazier than others. Some are better.
I mean, it is like working on a pilot where you have to turn around a network cut, and then the network gets notes, and then you have to redo the cut and do all this conforming. And it's, I don't know. It's just a lot of work. And I feel like I'm rambling, but...
So in that case, let's backpedal a little bit.
Okay.
Let's get back on track.
All right.
Let's talk about your second mentor, who is also a guest on this podcast, Harry Jurgen. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Jurgen. Yep.
So talk about how you met him, what that was like, how you kind of slipped into the role of mentor.
It was a balmy July day.
Balmy?
Balmy. I don't know.
I've never heard that as an adjective. Yeah, it's an adjective, right?
I guess. Okay. I don't know words. I met Harry on Gossip Girl, and you can listen to our first podcast with him, and I think we talk about how we met. And anyway, he was the first editor I worked with on Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. He was the first editor that I worked through an entire show. And he was very open to questions that I had. very open to letting me put my own input into the show, which was really helpful because, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I want to edit. You know, at that point, I want to edit. So he gave me the opportunity.
He's trying to teach you the skills.
Yeah, and he allowed me to cut scenes. Since I was an assistant, I was in charge of putting in sound effects. Sometimes in the beginning, they would allow me to cut music. Mm-hmm. Each editor is different. Some editors will strictly just cut picture.
I fucking hate cutting music.
Just cutting picture. Like, you get better at it if you keep doing it.
So much. That's one of those things I'm just not good at yet.
Yeah.
Like, I hear, like, a song that I know how it goes, but yep. I hear, like, a 15-second version of it that sounds unedited. It's not like there's a beginning, there's kind of a middle, like a part of a chorus, and then it just ends like on a sting, and it's like, how did you do that so seamlessly?
Well, I think knowing a lot about music and like performing music and being a musician really helps that.
Oh yeah,
because you can hear the timing, you can hear the beats. But a lot of editors will just cut picture and allow the assistants to do sound effects and music. But Harry, well, he let me do the whole shebang at times.
Boom.
And then after...
I don't know if that's a good mentor or a lazy editor, but fucking Harry's I'm just kidding. I didn't mean that at all. Harry's very hardworking. He knows his shit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's amazing.
He's worked on a number of things.
Yeah, he's on The Flash now.
Yeah, he is.
Which I think is doing very well, isn't it?
Yeah, and... I got another call to go work over there, and I was like, I can't. But,
they're getting so overloaded that they need another AE?
Well, they needed somebody to be a visual effects assistant. Mm. So basically, I would just be doing visual effect comps in Avid, which is something I really like to do, but...
That's a new thing for you, too, right? Like, you just started doing that, like, maybe a season or two ago?
Let's see... Yeah, 2 years ago, I started doing...
On that pilot, right?
Yeah, yeah. Funny enough, it was the work that I... Harry taught me how to do a lot of temp visual effects in Avid.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he also knew the producer that got me that pilot gig.
Boom.
And he got me that job. And then from that, which is really funny, because if you do something like I work with Harry...
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do an animat or something in the Avid and to make it look really nice and make the visual effect look good. And so I emulate him to do my work. And then when people see that, they're like, oh, you're really good at that. I'm like, it's really not that difficult. But thank you, you know.
Yeah.
And it has gotten me work and it's gotten me a lot of praise because of it. Just because... Harry showed me how to do this stuff.
Yeah,
because
you picked up his little tricks.
Yeah.
Just like I picked up hotkeys from you.
Yeah, and hopefully someday...
I'll be picking up your VFX tricks,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's also the coolest part about it is that, like, you've learned stuff from Harry and your mentors.
Mm-hmm. And I've tried to pass it down to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've learned so many different editing tips and advice, like... Never cut on a blink.
I was just going to say that,
In the middle of a breath. Like, let them, like, only cut when, like, it's a natural ending to that thought or sentence. Like, there's all these little things that you pick up from your peers and your mentors, but not really you'd ever learn from, like, in a book.
Well, actually, you could.
Blink of an eye covers that, doesn't it?
Yeah, to a degree. They go into a lot of theory, but yeah. With that being said, yeah,
it's like stuff that you like read in a textbook though. Like you're not going to remember a sentence you read in a textbook. Like when you came across a problem editing something, and then someone's like, "Oh, dude, just do it this way," and then you're like, "Now you just recall that memory every time you're in that issue." Instead of being like, "Oh fuck, what did that chapter say about sinking?" Fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Harry taught me a lot, and you know. I also taught you because of it, because of the information that I learned. And, but like I was saying with Harry being a good mentor is he also is someone that has done a lot. He knows a lot of people. And, if I ever had not just in editing, but even like, well, first off in editing, if I had questions like, hey, you know, I've got this situation where, should I assist or should I try to get an editing spot? you know, he would say, well, what are...
Like career advice.
Yeah, definitely career advice. Like, what should I do?
Oh,
and
yeah,
say,
dude.
Well, what do you want to do?
That's what...
Okay,
that's what,
do that.
That's you what know? Your mentor is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, when I get out of interviews, I call you before I call my mom.
it's really funny, too.
Hey, it went really well, JJ. Yeah. I'm going to call my mom after this.
And then I ask, okay, so what'd they ask you?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
you know, and you're like, did I say that right?
Yeah. You're like, yeah, yeah, you did that real yeah, good.
You did fine.
But you say it even creepier than that.
You did fine.
No, you did real good.
But he's also, he's very knowledgeable on a lot of things in life. And, because I trust him in editing in my career, you know, purchasing a place.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Harry, how do I do this? You know, he would always talk to me like, you got to buy real estate. As an editor, you have to buy real estate. And I'm like, okay, so I'm buying real estate.
That's
so
why you bought this place?
I'm not the only reason, but he was the one that was like, no, it's just kind of a, if you have the money to do it, do it.
It's a safety. It's a good safety.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he would tell me about stories about editors back in the, old Star Trek days that they made more money than God and they had to do something with it. So buying real estate was what they did.
Nice.
And, you know, and he learned that from them. And
I can't wait to have as much money as God.
Yeah.
I don't even want more than I just want equal to
equal or lesser value. It's good to have mentors. It's good to search out for mentors. You don't really know what you'll learn because I don't know. Not only is it a learning process, it's also a friendship because we've become very good friends.
Yeah.
Over the course of 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, it's been that long. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Almost a decade.
Yeah. Well, half a decade. It also goes to show that you want to work with people that you want to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the end goal for everyone really is just to, they just want to make movies with their friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah, drink beer at work. I mean, that's,
oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that would be better. You know,
well, we are work. No, guys, I don't do that anymore.
No. Yeah, I don't know if anybody has questions about mentoring or if they need a mentor and need someone to ask some questions.
Yeah,
feel free.
The truth. Like, I don't know if I'm even suitable to be a mentor, but JJ is one of the best mentors I've ever had.
I think you need to find someone to mentor.
Well, I mean, I tried that intern from Orange County. Actually, I still check up on him every now and then, and then now it kind of looks like he's doing better than me, so I'm like, okay, he's fine. He doesn't need my advice anymore.
He's okay. He's okay.
He's like always posting on Facebook about his job. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, you're doing way better than me. Like this is like, it's like, I think I remember hearing, like a lot of actors and a lot of comedians, like they get very bitter when they hear their friends like get something. Cause it's like, why them? Why not me? I've been looking for shit for so long, but it's like, that's such a stupid attitude. Cause it's like, you want your friends to do well and you want like the people. Like, I mean, I saw this intern of mine, like I saw him get treated like shit by the company, not by me.
Right.
I was going up to bat for him. And like there was a day where I saw him get fired and I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck? And like still maintained like talking to him throughout the entire thing, like trying to give him as much advice as I could. I think eventually the company hired him back. This time actually paying him money because I was like, hey, guys, I can't do this all by myself. You're always wondering why things are so slow.
Right.
Always try. I mean, he didn't get paid much, but like I was always like, you can't pay him this little. You have to give him more. And when I left the company and he was still there, I was still talking to him and like, hey, so how's it like working there? And he's telling me all these issues that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all people that like he sees as his superiors.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was working there, those people were like dumb shits. That were fucking stupid. And so I'm like,
oh wow.
So I'm like, no, Ed, don't even worry about it. Like this person that you're afraid of is the biggest idiot ever. Like just use a couple big words around him and he's gonna be like, oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Wow.
Because none of those people were production people.
Yeah.
So they were all salespeople.
Yeah.
And salespeople, all you need to do to get them to do what you want is just to tell them that what they want is gonna cost a lot of money. because that's the only thing they understand. Is it going to cost a lot of money? Is it going to cost not a lot of money?
Yeah.
No. It's going to cost a lot of money. You need to do it the way that I wanted to do it. Because then it'll be whatever you pay me hourly is how much it'll cost you instead of having to outsource to India and all these other things.
Really?
I mean, that's a little of an exaggeration.
Yeah.
But that's how I got things done at that company. Whenever they wanted to do something and I didn't like doing it, like I thought it was a bad idea or I thought that it was a waste of time, I would just come with a, it's expensive excuse.
By the way.
Here it comes.
Did they ever build that studio that they were going to build?
Mm-hmm.
Did they? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
We didn't really use it because it had this echo in there. And
it's unfortunate.
Yeah, dude, there were all these things that we were planning on doing. Like, we were building up this studio to pretty much like have this whole indoor studio. We're going to have like this news network thing. We're going to do daily segments. And so when we moved into the new building, that's when I was like, hey guys, we should totally hire a consultant to tell us how to build a studio. And then I called you, JJ, and I was like, hey JJ, you want to make $350 for like a couple hours of work?
Yeah.
They paid you more than that.
They were, they brought me on for the week, I thought.
Yeah, and I was like, hey guys, this is a big deal from NBC, a real network, not fucking YouTube shit. And like they were so impressed, like, oh my god, this guy, he's been on a lot.
Right. Going, yeah. Rah, rah, rah. Yeah.
And you came by, you impressed all of them. I was like,
I just told them what they needed to do.
Yeah. And
it was it's great.
And
gig,
it's all big way. It's all big words that they didn't really understand.
Yeah.
And that's
it was awesome. And it was stuff that you know, it's funny. Do you still have that Google Doc? Because you could probably post that Google Doc somewhere.
That Google Doc about what we need for the studio?
Yeah. And everything on how to get everything built and done.
It's that I set up like all those Google Docs I had created.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I think
recently, like within the last 6 months, I was just looking through it because like my Google Drive is just starting to get to capacity, which is hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking through all this shit and I'm just seeing all this stuff from that company that like documents that I had created and are being shared with all these people. I'm just like, this is taking up too much space. Delete, 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 delete.
Oh, no.
Chaos afterwards. Like no shit storm of people being shit. Like, what? Where did all these documents go?
Wow.
But I guess they just weren't using it. But I mean, I wasn't even taking up that much, but there were documents.
No, I think I still have it. I think I still have it because I created it. But it was basically how to run a post-production department.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be interesting to post on the blog.
Yeah, if you still have it, man.
Yeah.
You should make that into a blog post.
Yeah.
One week you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah. I think, anyway. I think that pretty much wraps up our mentoring.
Yeah, that went on longer than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was
good job, JJ.
It was thanks. Good job, Nadal. No, it was good. It was good to actually just sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you in a while. There's a lot more eye contact going on in this podcast than any other.
You know, I was thinking about
Never knew your eyes were brown, man. It just kind of glistens like halfway between hazel.
And they're light brown. They're light brown. No, but I was just thinking about that because recently I've been. When I was younger, I had a hard time making eye contact with people and talking to them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot for me to, like right now, it takes a lot for me to just continue to look at you.
It's very uncomfortable for me too.
In your eyes and talk.
It's very uncomfortable because it's like there's nowhere to look. Because if you look away, it looks like. Like you're an asshole trying to not make eye contact.
Right.
But then like you make eye contact and it's like, oh my God, this is going on for too long.
Yeah.
This
is, yeah. I used to just like when I talk, I just look around. But I don't know. I remember the very day I'm like, this is easier than I thought. And it's a confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going into an interview, make eye contact.
Make eye contact. Okay. So let's recap.
Okay.
Here's what we discussed. A. Email editors or if
anybody,
I mean, fuck it, man. This isn't a podcast for editors. This is a podcast for people.
We're just editors.
So find, we just happen to be editors. Yeah. So find a position. What position do you want to be in Hollywood? Like when you say you've made it, what position are you?
Is it a producer, a director, a writer?
Exactly. And then find the five, let's call it five.
Yeah.
10's too much. That's too much work.
Yeah. I mean, if you're ambitious.
Yeah, I mean, an ambition's not bad.
You like to party?
Just call it a list. Make a list of people that you respect doing their jobs, not shows that you like because overall you like the show.
Yeah.
But because you think that specific trait of that specific job made that show better.
Have reasons exactly. to contact them.
Like when they ask you, why did you contact me? Give them a specific reason why you contacted them specifically.
Yep.
So contact people that could be potential mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest about what you know, what you don't know.
Yeah.
Always be eager. Like when someone's offering to teach you something you don't know, always take that because yeah. that's going to make you better at your job.
And you never know if they will return, you know, do it again.
Exactly.
So,
and yeah. not only that, when they teach you this stuff, they now know that you know that stuff and they could offer you more opportunities. I mean, the majority of all my jobs have come from my mentor, you, JJ. Like,
oh, thanks, man.
Like, honestly, short of this job that I'm working at right now, you are responsible for pretty much every single job I've gotten. I think.
Wow.
I think so.
Well, it's jobs that I couldn't take.
I'm exactly.
Just like, here you go.
I'm just getting your spillage. And that's one of the biggest perks of having a mentor that's teaching you all the skills that they know is that now when, like, someone tries to get them for a job and they can't take it, they're like, you know what? I can't do it, but let me refer you to someone that knows literally everything I do.
Right.
And it's like, fucking sweet.
Yeah.
So yeah, be nice, be honest, be a sponge.
Yeah.
Get messy, make mistakes.
Yeah. And it's okay to be scared. A little bit scared.
Be a little scared.
Yeah. Be a little scared.
Be a little scared.
Fear is good for you.
Mm-hmm. Builds character.
Yeah.
Nothing is a nightmare. It's just an opportunity to build character. I forget where I heard that from. I feel like
it's good.
I feel
it's
like Danny Trejo said that. No, definitely not.
That's no, Danny Trejo said, are you a Mexican or a Mexicant?
Oh, the line I always get from him is, don't leave me regret essay from Bubble Boy.
Did you know that he was in Anaconda?
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
He was in, do you know the movie Anaconda?
Of course I know Anaconda. With J-Lo?
Yeah, nice he was in the first like 5 minutes of the movie. Yeah. Blew my mind.
Was he like gotten eaten by the snake probably?
Well, yeah.
Terrorized by the anaconda.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope it was informative.
I hope you didn't miss Andrew too much.
I mean, that's impossible. honestly, I think this is better off. I think we should just change this to the Nadav and JJ show.
Well, we only have like one thing we can talk about. Editing. Yeah. But... check out our blogs.
Yeah, check out our blogs. Check out our Facebook. Check out our Twitter.
Yeah.
Feel free to call or text us at
267-225-CHAT.
Yep, that's it.
God, I can't believe I remembered that.
There's no chance I would have. And be good unto others. And as others be good unto you.
It's the golden rule, man.
And listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.